Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family at the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. Every week I say this, and I'm going to say it again, that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. We would be glad to mail you a CD or a whole collection, whatever you would desire. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, include the date of the program that you would desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let's ask God's blessing upon our Bible study. Father, today we just ask that, Lord, that you would bless what we're about to look at. Use it in a way that would accomplish your purpose and your will. Maybe there'll be one out there, and Lord, they're listening and they're not saved, and maybe today would be the day of salvation for them. We pray that would be the case. So we commit it all to you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 12. That's where we are at again for this week. Revelation chapter 12. Last week in our study, we looked at a future war that's going to be fought in heaven at the midpoint of the tribulation period. And in that war, Satan and his angels will be defeated by Michael and his angels. And Satan and his angels are going to be cast out. Watch chapter 12 of Revelation, starting at verse 7. Here's what it says. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. When that war takes place, there will be a celebration in heaven, and the praise, in the praise that is spoken, we're able to see two of the main missions of Satan. Number one was this. He does all he can to deceive the entire world. Verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Last week I reminded you that Satan does not care what you believe as long as you don't believe the truth, as long as you don't believe the gospel. He doesn't care what people buy into. He doesn't care if people believe a false religion. It doesn't matter. It's the gospel that he tries to get them away from, because of what is said in Romans 1:16-17 that says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. This is the message of the gospel, that he died for us and that his blood was shed for us. That's the message that sets people free from three things: the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. That's the message that saves man from the lake of fire and makes him a child of God. John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." When we rest our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven of all of our sin. We're then secure in Christ. We're made secure. A lot of people don't believe that, but we are. Listen to Hebrews 10:14. "For by one offering he," that's Jesus, "hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Perfected us forever. Satan does not want anyone to believe the gospel. So he goes about promoting his false religions, his deception. He keeps people so busy that they don't have time to think about God or think about eternity. He's so focused on destruction and deception. And the world has fallen under his deception. That's one of his missions. The other one is that he accuses the believers whenever we fail before our God. Watch verse 10. And I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Once we're saved, it would be Satan's desire to have us stripped of our salvation. But he can't do it. But he still tries. He comes before our God day and night. He comes there to accuse us every time we sin, every time we fall short. He's there to point out our faults. Praise God that we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who's there to intercede. And every time there's an accusation brought against you or I, Jesus can say, yes, but I died for that sin. My blood was shed for that sin. We looked as we continued on in this text last week about how Satan is overcome. Verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Satan is overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ, by proclaiming the gospel, the word of their testimony, by living sacrificial lives. Satan can't do anything with those three. He can't. That's what changes the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And believers that are willing to give all they have to get the gospel out. This brings us to where we are in our study today. The future war on earth. The war in 7, verse 7 is fought in heaven. But now as we come down to verse 12, it's a different story. This one's going to be on earth. This chapter has taken us from Genesis, where the war started. Satan tried his best to stop the promise of Genesis 3:15 by destroying the promised Redeemer. He tried everything he could to destroy Christ before he was born and after he was born. That war then continued in heaven after the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now we see that the war will spill back out into the earth during the Great Tribulation. After Satan loses the battle in heaven, he will be cast to the earth. Revelation 12:12 says this, therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell into them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devils come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When Satan is cast out in the middle of the tribulation period, he will hit the earth in a rage of fury. He knows he has but a short time left on earth, and so it'll be his mission to do all he can to grab any power that he can get and to drag people down into destruction right along with him. Mark Hitchcock tells us when Satan is kicked out of heaven, there are going to be three major changes that are going to take place. Number one will be this. Satan will no longer be able to gain an audience with God to accuse the Lord's people. He can't do that anymore. Number two, Satan will no longer have access into the presence of God to be granted permission to test and tempt the saints. So he can't get the permission to do that. Number three, because he knows his time is short, he will wreak havoc, as much havoc as possible. He will institute a scorched earth policy. It'll be terrible on the earth. Because Satan will fail to rule in heaven, he will do his best at this time to rule on the earth. But in order to rule on the earth, he must stop the return of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be his goal. He's going to try to stop the return of Christ. Watch verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. When Satan is cast to the earth, his focus becomes the nation of Israel. Why? Why does he turn to Israel? Why them? Listen to this. It is because the promise of the Lord's earthly return is made to Israel in the Old Testament. His earthly return is made to, the promise is made to Israel. If Satan is going to if he's going to rule the earth, he has to destroy Israel to stop the return of Jesus Christ. If there is no Israel, then the Lord will not return. You understand that? So listen, I say that, and I want to help you with something. Any attacks upon Israel today, we know, are satanic, because there is a desire to exterminate those people. There's a desire to completely destroy the nation of Israel. And behind that is Satan, because he does not want Jesus Christ to come back to the earth to set up his kingdom. And that promise of that kingdom and that earthly return is made to the nation of Israel, not to the church. It's not made to us. Our promise is that he's going to return in the air, not to the earth, though we will have a part in that kingdom. So Satan will do all he can to destroy Israel so that Jesus will have not a people to come back to, and then he wouldn't return, and Satan could then rule and reign in this world forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine what a world that would be? So in all of his rage and all of his fury, he turns toward the nation of Israel. This is all happening at the midpoint of the tribulation. Listen to Matthew 24:15-19. Jesus said, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." When you see, when you and I see, or not you and I, but whenever the inhabitants of the great tribulation, of the tribulation period, when they see the Antichrist set himself up in the temple and declare that he is God, that's when it's all going to go bad. Verse 16, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." That passage is parallel with Revelation 12, when Satan hits the earth. When he hits the earth, when he's cast out of heaven and he turns toward the nation of Israel, what Jesus said in Matthew 24 is parallel with what we're seeing right here. This will start the great tribulation. Daniel points to this very same time. Daniel 12:1 says, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." What a time that will be. You and I cannot even begin to fathom what life will be like on the earth in that second half of that tribulation. I mean, one of the reasons is because of the rage and the fury of Satan. But another one is, you got to understand, you have the trumpet judgments and you have the bowl judgments that are going to be poured out. Watch verse 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." Here we see the divine protection given to the nation of Israel, and this happens at the midpoint of the tribulation. And so Israel will be nourished by God for the last 3.5 years. The reference to the eagle wings speaks of supernatural protection and provision. Exodus 19:4 says this, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." This speaks of how God supernaturally parted the Red Sea and allowed Israel to escape the attack of the Egyptians. But there's also more here. To be carried on eagle's wings has the idea of the mother eagle who forces her young from her nest and then flies beside them to be sure they can fly and do not hit the ground. If they're unable to soar, they will be swooped up and carried to greater heights. Listen to Deuteronomy 32:10-13. He found him in a desert and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. The idea in Revelation 12:14 is that God will do for Israel what they cannot do for themselves. He will carry them on eagle's wings in order to preserve his people, and he will nourish them for 3.5 years in a place which he has made for them. Watch Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's the place that's prepared by God for Israel. Many today believe it's Petra. But it could be a place that does not exist as of yet because of what we're told about the sixth seal judgment, Revelation 6:12 through 14. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Possibly, if it's not Petra, possibly it's the place that'll be created whenever every island and mountain are moved out of their places. What's Revelation 12:15 now? And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Here we see Satan tries his best to destroy Israel with something as a flood. It's important to notice the source of the water is symbolic, for it's the serpent's mouth. So we can therefore safely see the flood as being symbolic. Many believe this will be a military military under the influence of the demonic world that will pursue Israel, and that could very well be. Watch verse 16. Watch what happens. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Whatever Satan launches to destroy Israel, if it's a military, God's going to open up the earth to swallow it up. This is most likely a military. And what happens here is very similar to what happened to the Egyptians when they pursued Israel through the Red Sea and were drowned in the waters. God allowed them to be swallowed up by the waters. But I believe there's another more accurate picture in the Old Testament. In Numbers 16:28-33, in Korah's rebellion, it says, and Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own hand. And if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground cleave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And their houses and all the men that appertained to Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Here we see that the earth swallowed Korah and his followers. And most likely the very same thing is going to happen to the military that pursues Israel in the wilderness. Somehow, some way, the earth will open up. God will cause that to happen. There'll be a split in the open, in the crust of the earth, and it'll swallow up that flood. If that flood be a military, or if it be an actual flood, whatever it might be, the earth is going to swallow it up. Watch verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here we see that Satan will turn to the remnant of Israel's seed when he knows he cannot get to her. But this brings up a question. Who's the remnant? Who's the remnant? Who is the part of Israel that has been separated from Israel right here? Probably the 144,000 Jewish men that we met in Revelation 7. They will be scattered throughout the world preaching the gospel, and they won't be able to get to the place which God has prepared. Also, we must remember that their ministry will continue in the last half of the tribulation. Revelation 7, where we meet them, we read this, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those people that are saved and come out of the great tribulation because they have martyred, they are the fruit of the ministry of the 144,000. And it says here in Revelation 7:14 that they come out of great tribulation, which would be the last 3.5 years. So these 144,000 are active in the last half. Watch verse 17 again, if you would. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These people are those who keep the commandments and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listen to Matthew 25:31-40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Okay, this is the judgment of the sheep and the goats. This is the judgment of the Gentile nations. But listen to this. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, and naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. It appears that the saved of the Gentiles will be used by God to provide for those 144,000 Jewish men who are going to be scattered across the face of the earth, spreading the gospel. Life is not going to be easy for them. Conclusion in all of this. What can I glean? What can I glean from this? Number one, God will provide the protection and provision for us as we go through life, just as he will for these people in the tribulation. You and I will not go through the tribulation if you know Christ, but we will be raptured away. But we don't know how difficult it's going to be before we get to the rapture. It could get extremely difficult. Isaiah 43:1-3 says this, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Listen, no matter what we go through, no matter what we have to endure, we are never alone. We're never alone. What we need to keep in mind is this, that is God's people, we are created for his glory, to bring him glory. So whatever we go through, that's our mission, that's our goal. let me get you something else. Number two, sometimes I'm the instrument which God wants to use to help those who are in need. Sometimes we are the instruments that God wants to use. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10 say this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, as we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. Sometimes God wants to use me, all the time he wants to use me, to reach out to help those that are in need. It's one of the ways I glorify him. It's one of the ways you glorify him. Let me go back to this Revelation 12. Life during the tribulation is going to far exceed any kind of terror that you and I can ever imagine. I don't know if you're saved or not, but if you're not saved, I want to say this. You need Jesus Christ. He died for you. He died to pay for your sins. You need to repent of your sin, and you need to put your faith in the finished work of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He died for your sins. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus died so that you could be set free, so that you wouldn't have to experience this great tribulation that's going to come upon the face of the earth. And I'm telling you, we are rapidly approaching that tribulation period. You need Christ. You need to accept him as your Savior. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, I will remind you, if you ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. When you write, be sure to include the date and then write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.